Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Through the halls of time, as reflected in the pages of sacred scripture, lies a tapestry woven with stories of love, betrayal, and divine appointments of reckoning. Within the rich fabric, we find the stories of couples whose relationships serve as whispers of caution, offering the reminder that if hearts are led astray, the ensuing path can be treacherous. Here, we will journey through a few corridors that weave through history, considering some of the most infamous couples found in biblical passages. And what you will see is that their twisted form of love always met a bitter and horrible end. Here is Ananias and Sapphira, a couple that is standing as pillars of deception, taking the rank as one of the most shocking couples in all Bible history. In the book of Acts, as the community of believers began, there was a fervent zeal toward their newfound faith. But you see, the thing about Ananias and Sapphira is that their hearts were darkened. This couple conspired together to deceive the apostles, to deceive the man of God, Peter. And so, here's what they did. The couple chose to sell a piece of their property, but decided to withhold a portion of the proceeds for themselves, selling what they had and only giving a part of it to the church. They withheld the truth and part of the money, but God saw through their veil of lies and revealed it to Peter as well. So, I want you to just imagine this scene. Ananias, scheming, having just made a nice profit and kept some to himself, he stands in front of Peter with what he thought was a secret that was only between him and his wife. So he presents this partial offering to the church and to Peter. But you see, Peter is enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and he knows the truth. So he says, "Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." Now, in what can only be described as one of the most dramatic scenes in the Bible, as soon as Peter finished speaking, and as Ananias heard his words, he fell to the floor and died. God's justice fell, swiftly and without mercy, like a strike of lightning from heaven. In a flash, Ananias was dead. About 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for your land?" "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too." Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. This couple worked together and agreed to deceive God. They thought that they could do something in the dark which was for their personal benefit. But God sees everything. Today, The relationship between Ananias and Sapphira is a stark reminder of what happens when you allow yourself to be taken prisoner by greed and hypocrisy. Now, I'd like to bring your attention to another couple, a couple that resided in the very heart of the ancient city of Jerusalem. They could hear the cries of the oppressed all around them amidst clashing swords and brandished shields. This is a tale of adultery and forbidden desire, which unfolds through two key players in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. David is the king, but he is also a man after God's own heart, by the very admission of God. But he quickly finds himself ensnared by the beauty of a woman named Bathsheba. Her beauty was alluring and absolutely impossible for David to reject. And so, here is how it unfolded. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. He wasn't thinking of the consequences of this one night, and he wasn't thinking of the shadows of guilt and remorse that would eat him alive night after night once everything had played out. Neither knew that the flame ignited that night when he had her delivered to his palace would consume them both. In fact, the situation continued to cascade out of control into pure evil calamity until David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered on the very battlefield where he served David, his king. The ensuing harvest of regret and sorrow were reaped where these sins were sown, and they would haunt David until his dying breath. The story of David and Bathsheba is one that teaches us that sin will always take more than it gives. Sin will pull you deeper than you want to go. It'll take you further than you want to go. And it will cost a bigger price than you're willing to pay. Now, for our next couple, we have to walk down the perverse halls of power and wealth. Herodias and King Herod would often dance a grim choreography of lies and desire. At one time, Herodias was actually married to Herod's brother, Philip. When she left him to be with Herod, she broke the sacred bonds of matrimony by marrying this man who was also her uncle. Many mocked the scandal of their relationship. Their union was condemned by both God and the prophet, John the Baptist, whose voice thundered with a mighty echo through the wilderness, vehemently condemning their relationship. Herodias allowed her anger and her thirst for power and lust to consume her as she plotted and went about weaving a web that would lead to the prophet's demise. Everything came to a gripping point on the eve of Herod's birthday. They threw a lavish banquet where exotic perfumes and the sound of laughter were heavy.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That night, Herodias' daughter, Salome, danced before the company and pleased Herod so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." I want you to notice how bitterness and anger had so consumed Herodias. When her daughter danced in front of Herod, he promised to give her whatever she would request. Herodias took this as an opportunity to take revenge on John, persuading her daughter to ask for John's head on a platter. Her daughter did as she had requested, and as a result, John was beheaded. So, what can we take away from all of this? What lessons can be learned? Through the example of Herodias, we can clearly see that a resentful heart leads to sin. We need to examine the condition of our hearts. If we find there is any unforgiveness in us, we must let it go. Moving on, imagine being present at the dawn of creation, with the vibrant splendor of the Garden of Eden engulfing Adam and Eve, who walked comfortably there with God. As the first man and woman on earth, fashioned by the very hand of the divine, these two saw the sun kiss the earth and felt the gentle breezes whisper secrets through the trees each and every day. But their relationship was a testament to how the union between man and woman could be so harmonious. They were blessed by God and placed in the garden on purpose right from the beginning. There, in perfect harmony, they basked in God's radiating love, taking their relationship with God and each other for granted. But temptation lurked in the shadows, even here in paradise. Coming in the form of a serpent, the devil whispered lie after lie into their ears, and with one single bite, he shattered the relationship between God and these two. Under the weight of the original sin, the first couple on earth carried the burden and passed it down through the years, placing an irrevocable stain on the souls of each of their descendants. And to this day, people still blame them for the trouble we so often go through. In the tapestry of history and the humans that lived in it, these couples mentioned here today stand as cautionary mile markers. Their actions serve as reminders that the human heart is fragile and untrustworthy. The final couple that I'd like to really take a closer look at is Jezebel and Ahab.
Jezebel. Here's a quick rundown of this woman. Jezebel was the daughter of a Phoenician king named Ethbaal, so this made her a princess. Jezebel then got married to Ahab, the seventh king of Israel, and this made her a queen. Now, Jezebel was a worshipper of the Canaanite god of rain and fertility, Baal. She was an idol worshipper. She was a woman who was influential, powerful, and wicked.
1 Kings 21, verse 25, talks about both Ahab and Jezebel. It says, "But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." While Ahab is guilty of his own sin, much of his downfall was due to his wife, Jezebel. Jezebel was a pagan woman. She did not follow the God of Israel, but hated him. In 1 Kings 18, she purposely tries to kill the prophets of the God of Israel, a gross act of evil. It's unspeakable to think that Jezebel would stand in such bold defiance to the God of Israel, that she would seek to kill his servants.
The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, "And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave, and fed them with bread and water." So King Ahab didn't cut off the prophets of the Lord. Jezebel, his queen, did. In those times and in that society, do you know what it would look like for the king to be led by his queen? But nonetheless, Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. The Bible also says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, "Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." The Bible says the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah ate at whose table? Not King Ahab? Not the head of the home? But at Jezebel's table. You see, you need to be careful when it comes to the spirit of Jezebel. It's a spirit that has a voice of influence and control. She overshadowed her husband, undermined his authority, but she also incited her husband to evil, because 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 25 says, "There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife incited."
There were a few times in the life of Ahab when it looked as if he would repent. There were even times when it looked like he wanted to follow the ways of God. However, every time there was a ray of sunshine, Jezebel quenched the hope. The most notable is the story of 1 Kings 21. In this chapter, there was a vineyard that was owned by a man named Naboth. Ahab wanted the vineyard and was even willing to buy it. Naboth rejected the offer because it was against the law of God for him to sell it. Ahab was very upset and went back to his palace to mourn. However, Jezebel took matters into her own hand and killed Naboth.
she arranged for people to accuse Naboth, who was a righteous man, of cursing God and the king, which resulted in his death by stoning. So she falsely accused him, had him murdered, and stole his vineyard. That is manipulation at its peak.
This leads to Ahab buying the vineyard for himself. Did Ahab kill Naboth? No. His evil wife, Jezebel, did. However, he could have rejected buying the vineyard and put his wife in jail for the murder of Naboth. Yet, due to his own evil pleasure and the evil hand of Jezebel, he gave in to his sinful desire. It seems almost like Ahab was a puppet in the hand of Jezebel. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah, who was a prophet from God, challenges the idol worshippers of Baal to see whose God is the real God. They see whose God can catch a bull on fire. Of course, the 450 prophets of Baal could do nothing because their God is not real. They tried for many hours and failed. Yet God set the bull of Elijah on fire after a single prayer from Elijah.
He exposed the false gods by way of a contest between Baal and Yahweh, proving to all onlookers that the God of Israel is the only true God. He then ordered the prophets of Baal to be killed, which angered Jezebel so much that she then threatened to kill Elijah, which caused him to flee. We know Jezebel's end, which was prophesied by Elijah. She was thrown out her window by her servants, and later trampled by horses and her body devoured by dogs. She had been given a chance to repent after she had heard of the outcome of the contest and the prophecy of her gruesome death, yet she chose to continue to walk in the way of darkness. Yes, Jezebel died and has long been forgotten by many. However, her spirit still exists today and can manifest itself in the behavior or actions of people around us.
The story of Ahab and Jezebel is a story we must take note of. When we surround ourselves with evil people, it's likely we are going to make evil decisions. Their influence, and sometimes their manipulation, will cause us to walk in sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with the darkness?" We must be careful not to marry someone who does not know the Lord. If we do, it is possible for them to draw us into evil. Of course, if you find yourself married to an unbeliever, you should not leave. However, you must be on guard that your spouse does not lead you astray, as Jezebel did with Ahab.
And I want you to learn this. People often associate the spirit of Jezebel with sex and seduction and promiscuity. But I believe these are just some of the fruits of this spirit. At the core of Jezebel, at the core of this wicked spirit, is control. It's a controlling and manipulative spirit that takes people captive. It's a spirit that has no gender. Just because it's a spirit named after a woman, that does not mean it can't be found in men. As I've said, it's a spirit of control. And if you look throughout your life, it's usually the people who are power-hungry or control-mongers that turn out to be the most hurtful and nastiest people we have to deal with. And look at it this way. In the church, at the root of most conflicts, the issue is to do with control. Pastor versus elders, deacons versus choirs, this ministry versus that ministry. That's the spirit of Jezebel. Or how about in the home? How many conflicts in a marriage are about control? The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives." It does not say, "Control your wives." It says, "Love them." Do you love your wife, sir? Because if you want to control her, if you're trying to control what she does, what she says, who she's with, and who she sees, then you, sir, are under the spirit of Jezebel. This goes for you too, ma'am. The Bible tells you to respect your husband, not try and control him, Don't try and bend his will to yours by manipulation. That is the spirit of Jezebel. And here's the thing about control. Here's why the spirit of Jezebel is so wicked and destructive. It wants to control, right? But let me ask you, does God control you? Does he? Does God make you do anything? Does he make you do his will? Does he make you want to love him and serve him? God does not force you to do anything. He wants you to be saved, but he won't force you. Jesus Christ will knock on the door of your heart, but he won't force you. The story of Jezebel also...
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Serves to warn us about people who have a religious spirit. Beware of people who are religious but don't really know the saving power of Jesus Christ. They claim to follow him, but don't have a relationship with him. They fulfill religious duties, seek high positions, and think they are better than other Christians, but yet Christ is absent from their hearts. The Pharisees were very much like this, and we have our fair share of modern-day Pharisees. This false spirit of religion can be deceiving because it shows itself to be righteous when the opposite is true. Jezebel was dedicated to idol worship, and although the people we come into contact with are not Baal worshippers, they instead worship themselves and are as far away from God as the pagans. Watch out for these ones. They are like wolves in sheep's clothing. The last important characteristic of Jezebel was her disregard for and hatred of authority. In her mind, she had all the authority as the queen and didn't care for Elijah the prophet or any of God's people. She didn't listen to him or repent of her ways after he proved God's power and sovereignty. She also taunted Jehu, the military commander of Israel's army, right before he ordered her servants to throw her out. This spirit is also evident in our day, as some people want to chase after their own selfish gain, having no regard for order or hierarchy. Are there not people like this in our churches, in our families and communities? Be on guard against such people, for they would even question God's authority himself. While Jezebel got what she wanted most of the time by manipulating, scheming, deceiving, and controlling, at the end, she couldn't control her demise, which was due to her own resistance to God.
We also see that power and status does not always mean that you are doing the right thing. Ahab and Jezebel had all the power in the world. Jezebel had close to 1,000 prophets who ate at her table. They even had the power to murder someone for their property and get away with it. It is not fame, power, and status that lead to the good life, even if it's what the world tells us. As in the words of Jesus, the first will be last, and the last shall be first. It is by being a humble servant that we truly find the good life. Most stories we read today have a climax and a resolution. However, in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, there seems to be no resolution. Every now and then, there would be a king who would be led by the hand of God. However, for the most part, all the kings were evil, Ahab being the one who caused the most evil. Matter of fact, the book of Kings ends with many who live in Israel going into captivity in the surrounding foreign nations. We will have to look hundreds of years into the future to find our resolution or happy ending. While most kings of Israel were evil and led the people of God away from God, there would be one who would come who led the people of God to all righteousness. Instead of being a king who sought power, he laid his power down to serve. While he deserved to punish his people for their sin, he decided to be punished for his people. We find the climax of the story not in the book of Kings, but hundreds of years later in the person of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
The spirit of Jezebel is strong, but the spirit of our God is stronger, and it will overcome all evil. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will be able to recognize these characteristics and know how to deal with the people who have the spirit of Jezebel working in them. Pray that you might be led by the Holy Spirit.